Welcome back to the Bullets Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Alan Jenkins. You can find me on Twitter at ajenks24. You can find my written work on SB Nation's Bullets Forever, as well as bulletsbasketball.com. Tonight we're going to talk about the Wizards-Pacers game. It looked like it wasn't going to be a good game, but then the Wizards made a comeback down the stretch. It all got started in the first quarter, or the first half, really. Victor Oladipo was on fire to start this game. He started 6 of 9 from the field and had had 19 points at halftime. Bojan Bogdanović, the Wizards, us Wizards faithful, know him very well. He also had 11 points at halftime, as the Wizards were ice cold in the first half, just 39% from the field, 29% from three-point range, as they were down 55-45 at halftime. Things looked even worse in the third quarter. You know when you're playing pickup basketball and it's for a couple of hours and you reach that point where you don't really care who wins the game, you just want the game to be over? Well, that's what the Wizards looked like tonight. There was no life, there was no energy, especially in the third quarter. The Wizards fell down by 17. They were down 80-63 late in the third quarter, and it really didn't look like there was much hope. But sure enough, to start the fourth quarter, led by mainly the bench unit, they went on a 10-0 run to start the quarter, cutting the lead to 5 right away. The Wizards were also in the bonus at the 9:05 mark of the fourth quarter, so they were shooting free throws the rest of the way. Now, Scott Brooks, who has had some interesting rotations, which I'll get to a little bit later, pulled Tim Frazier at about the 9-minute mark, and the Wizards did not reinsert a point guard thereafter. Like I said, I'll get back to that later. So Beal was the primary point guard down the stretch, and he almost willed the Wizards back to victory. The Wizards were actually cut the lead to 96-95 with 36 seconds to play. Beal had an opportunity in transition for a layup that would have given the Wizards the lead. He missed that. And then late in the game, he tried to find Mahimi down low, threw the ball out of bounds, and the next time down, he threw a pass kind of falling backwards cross court. Victor Oladipo slammed it home, and the Pacers stretched their lead back out to 6. But even with all that, even with all those mishaps, the Wizards did have a chance late. Scott Brooks ran a play for Beal, who ended up getting a floater in the lane. It was a good look. It rattled around, but then came out. Curtis Joseph, he had 2 free throws. The Wizards were in foul mode after that, made just one of the 2. So the Wizards were down 3. And Brooks again drew up a play, got him a wide open look. He sidestepped Miles Turner for a 3, but it fell way short. And Beal, who looked exhausted afterwards, rightfully so, as he played 43 minutes tonight. He missed the shot. It barely hit the rim, came up way short, and that was that. The Wizards lose 98-95, now fall back into 5th place. Indiana jumps up into 4th place. And kind of picking up right where we left off over the past few games, turnovers. The Wizards, you know, the last 4 games, they've had at least 16 turnovers. That wasn't the case tonight. They only had 14, but even so, 10 of those came in the first half. Beal was accountable for 5 of those, and 2 of those late in the game, obviously resulting in easy buckets to give the Pacers a little bit of a cushion. The other thing for the Wizards is, I don't know what it is, but the 14 turnovers leading to 20 points on the other end for the Pacers. So it's not like these are dead ball turnovers. The Wizards are throwing the ball, you know, often cross court or just lazy passes, which lead to transition opportunities. And these are easy buckets for the opposition. So you're not going to win many games when the opponent scores a 5th of their points off of your mishaps. Now, something that was, I really found interesting, it was really mind-boggling, was there was no love for Otto Porter down the stretch. Porter actually did start slow, was just 1 of 7 from the field. He did, however, connect on his next 5 field goal attempts, including a 3-pointer in the fourth quarter, but that was really it. He only got 1 look in the fourth quarter, and Beal kind of ran the show down the stretch. Porter did not have any plays run for him, kind of disappeared, was often standing in the corner waiting for the ball to come his way, and it didn't, evidenced as he just got 1 shot in the fourth quarter. And that's kind of, yes, it's on Porter, but it's a little bit on Brooks. Porter has actually been playing very well over the past few games, and you have to get him the ball. You have to get him the ball, especially because he woke up in the third quarter going 4 of 4 from the field, and there's really no excuse for that. And in addition to not getting Porter the ball, these rotations tonight were, again, they made no sense. The first half was okay, but in the second half, mainly to start the fourth quarter, Brooks went with an all-bench lineup except for Beal. Beal played the entire second half tonight, like I said, 43 minutes. But Tomas Satoransky, Markieff Morris, and Marcin Gortat did not play in the fourth quarter. Keep in mind that Markieff Morris actually started the game very well, 12 points on 5 of 7 shooting, 7 rebounds in just 27 minutes of play. But Brooks, I guess, was riding the hot hand. Mike Scott did play well, so he played Scott over Morris. Mahimi, same thing there. Brooks, I guess he was riding the hot hand, played Mahimi over Gortat. Mahimi actually, he played well. He had some typical Jan Mahimi plays where you're caught scratching your head. Did end up with 8 points and 9 rebounds. But the main thing is Tomas Satoransky didn't enter the game in the fourth quarter. So you're going no point guard for the last 9 minutes, and you're running one of your stars into the ground in Beal, making him the main trigger man, the main ball handler, and also he has to guard Oladipo, the team's best player, on the other end. So he didn't give him any breaks there, and it didn't make sense because Meeks got those minutes in the fourth quarter. Meeks ended up playing 26 minutes tonight. Him and Satoransky had a similar stat line, 7 points each. But Meeks was just 1 of 6 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3-point range. He did knock down all of his free throws, but I don't know what exactly Brooks saw in Meeks, which made him want to play him over Satoransky. So that's something. A lot of it probably had to do with Kelly Oubre being out, and the Wizards they don't have a lot of depth as it is, but that just didn't really make sense to me. So now here we are, the Wizards lost this game. They now slide back into the fifth spot, and don't look now, but the 76ers, who are actually beating the Milwaukee Bucks at halftime, if indeed they do beat them, the Wizards will be tied for the 5 seed with the Philadelphia 76ers. Things don't get any easier as the Miami Heat come to town. The Miami Heat have been struggling a little bit as of late, but as we know, the Wizards over the years haven't really fared well against Miami. So not a great way to end the week. The Wizards lose their third straight, are currently on their longest losing streak of the season, and will look to snap back out of it on Tuesday.